Turn to Psalm 37, three verses that'll set the tone out of the life of David. Lee spoke on the sovereignty of God in the earlier study, the magnificent reality, the incomprehensible truth, really, that God is in total in all that He is and does sovereign. And here in Psalm 37, David is saying that about himself, and he's saying it about every person that's in Christ Jesus. This great God who rules our days. Psalm 37, pick it up in verse 23. I'd like to read three verses, and then I'll pray. David says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Let me pray. Our great God, our great Father, our great Redeemer, blessed be your name. The times and the seasons are in your hands. The nations and the kingdoms are in your hands. And our very steps, our very lives are in your hands. What greater comfort there is to know but that our God is for us and with us. Thank you for such a great salvation where we can sing, "It is well with my soul." Speak to us now. Strengthen your people. Shepherd your flock. Blessed Holy Spirit, we look to you. Amen. Sometime back in the early years of our church, I started an annual tradition of reflecting back on the previous calendar year. I'm not exactly sure what year I started it, maybe 2002. And back in those years, we had 25 or 30 of us. Pretty manageable. But now, here we are with well over 100 in the gathering of God's church. And yet I don't think I can stop this tradition. I'm not sure that the elders will let me stop it now. I'm not even sure my own family's going to let me stop it. And I can guarantee you Mac Tomlinson won't let me stop it. He'll hunt me down. And I have to admit and say from the heart that it's an emotional ride for me to do this, to think of each of you, your families, the brethren, and to consider some things that you've been through this past year. I mean, it's unusual. I've got notes here all over paper and stuff. And I've got a list in my car of all the names of the brethren. And I've been driving and looking at it for the last couple of weeks especially. Thinking about each of you. And sometimes I have smiles or laughter. I was thinking about Brian. Yeah, I was just laughing in the car thinking about Brian and I and some of the joyful times as he's been so good and faithful in helping take care of the stewardship, the financial things for our church. Sometimes I have tears. I'm asking the Lord to help me through this. We can cry together. But there's always a thankfulness to God for His great grace in your lives. I mean, it's Christ in you. It works, right? We don't keep each other. He does it. So when I think of each of you, it's a deep, deep feeling and experience. And I know that Mac and Lee and Jeff, they would feel in the same way. And in one sense, what I do today, I do it from them. It comes from all of us. So today, some reflections on 2016. Now, let me ask you, have you taken time to reflect back over the past year? You should. What things will you remember the most from 2016? One year, and this is maybe just Philip, a few years ago, I said to Krista, let's go through all of our years of marriage, and I'll tell you the highlight of every year, 1980, 81, 82. I think somewhere in the world, she just looked at me like, how do you do that? How do you hang on to that stuff? Don't ask me to do it in the hallway because I'll miss a few years. I won't be able to. But there's things that we should have, Ebenezers in our own life that we should look back on. That's what David does in the Psalms over and over and over again. David is doing that right here in verses 23, 24, and 25. David is speaking back to God or saying back to God, this is what you've done for me. You've kept my steps. You've upheld me. You've ordered my ways. I've fallen down. You've lifted me up. I haven't gone without. You've taken care of me. So these are remembrances of what God had done for David. And if you do it, beloved, if you do this, I can promise you it will stir or bring thanksgiving. It will also bring fresh hope. And it'll bring fresh faith that Jesus Christ is with you, as He's promised, all the way to the end. He is a faithful shepherd, Savior, King, all the way to glory. Now, so today, as we reflect back, like Lee had done earlier, I'm going to quote from Brother Spurgeon. When Spurgeon would look back, reflecting back, listen to how he put it. Listen to the language. Spurgeon says, we delight to look down a long avenue of trees. This is a picture. You're looking down an avenue of trees. And it is delightful to gaze from end to end of the long vista, a sort of verdant temple with its branching pillars and its arches of leaves. Got the picture? Even so, you look down the long aisles of your years. Look down at, through those years at the green boughs of mercy overhead, at the strong pillars of loving kindness and faithfulness which bears up your joys. Listen to this. Are there no birds in yonder branches singing? Have you had birds singing over you along the way? You get the language here? The mercies, the tender mercies of God? Surely there must be many, and they all sing of mercy received. We all that are in Christ Jesus have birds singing of mercy in our lives. Stay with me. So today, beloved, let's reflect together. In some ways, this ought to stir a new and fresh union in Christ together. Fervent love one for another. Closeness, harmony, unity. And then we come back this evening and enjoy joyful time together, a special time. But before I speak to something briefly on your life, in your life, let me take a quick moment to glance at some of the key world events. What have we seen happen around us in this world that we live in over the last year? First, the never-ending social woes and tragedies and miseries in our society. There is racial tension and hatred all across the United States and the world, no doubt. But there is such racial tension and hatred in America, it staggers me at times. I was in third grade when we desegregated the schools here in Denton, and I'm going, what is going on today? We see violence and killings almost weekly, like the senseless killing of five Dallas police officers back in August. As I remember it, Mac and I and Darius and others were in Portland, Maine at the conference when that occurred. Five officers shot down. Senseless. The tension in our society, this tension has triggered actions, some of them commendable, some of them rebellious, if you know lack of a better word. But actions such as professional athletes that they refuse to stand during the national anthem and they take a knee in protest. You see, it's everywhere. People everywhere are full of hatred, resentment, bitterness against other peoples, other skin colors, other authorities. It's just incredible. Some of our other social problems include protest and rioting. I was a young boy in the 60s when the rioting was occurring, and my parents sheltered me for most of it because we didn't have social media anyway. But I do remember some pictures and some of the TV images. And I feel like we're looking again in the 1960s. Protests, rioting. Sometimes you feel like you're on the verge of something breaking loose. Even during and after the presidential election. A lot of emotion. And our social woes include the attempt to normalize the gay agenda. One of the ongoing sad sagas of the American decline. To normalize something that God's word is very clear on. And at the individual level, if you want to call it that, the culture had its bubble burst in America when the end of the most glamorous married couple came to an end when Brad Pitt and Angelina divorced. Just a suggestion, not necessarily to you, but anybody else that would ever hear this, read the Bible to find out the beauty and the wonder of marriage. Don't read People magazine or something like that. The Word of God declares what marriage is. So those are social woes. Those are just a snapshot. I'm just barely touching on these. Political upheaval. This past year in America has been a political circus show. I kept saying that to other people. Nobody ever said, well, that's not the proper term. It has been at times like a circus show traveling around. And I'm sure most of the outside world, other countries, would look on and just laugh, right? They'd probably just go, look at America. Donald Trump won the presidential election. Candidly, I was stunned. The events that were going on, I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know how God would turn it. God is sovereign. God rules. He sets one up. He takes one down. Psalm 75, he rules. Mr. Trump won the presidential election. As I left the Dodge house, I said to Amber, I'll be stunned if he wins. She said, me too. We were stunned. Most of the media sat there in disbelief. I never stay up late, really. But I kept staying up 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And most of the major media, because I just don't see much TV, sat there in disbelief. Many had visible contempt. I thought that some of the news people were going to up and leave. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was just amazing. The Clintons' run, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton's run of success, or whatever you want to call it, came to a screeching halt. I'll never forget the expressions of some of the people that supported their campaign, you know, that they would show, just looking at the screen, just couldn't believe what they were seeing. I'm just reminding us of what we've seen happen. There was, all of this was so unbelievable in a sense that, you know what the national or the word of the year was in the United States? I don't think I've ever heard there's a word of the year. You know what the word of the year was? Surreal. It was a surreal year to those secular writers. But here's the sad reality. There is arrogant striving in both or all political parties in America. Arrogant, I'm going to use that word. I kept going back and changing the word. Arrogant strivings in both parties. Envy, ridicule, lies, slander is the absolute norm of our day. Unbelievable. I asked this a couple of times to other men along the way. Where is the honor of serving in politics anymore? It used to be an honorable thing to be in a political role, to pass laws, to protect laws, to execute government, to protect the people. Lord, have mercy on us. Third area, again, I'm just going to scan these quickly. Winners of corruptible crowns. What's my category, Tom? Sports. For anybody who's interested in that, maybe 90% of the people in here would say, throw that page away, Philip. Winners of corruptible crowns, meaning those that are in Christ Jesus have an incorruptible crown, right? But corruptible crowns, the Chicago Cubs. Any Cub fans in here? Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series. Last time they did it was 1908. The Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA championship. LeBron James delivered on his promise to the Ohio people. The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl. Then Peyton Manning got to ride off into retirement, and I'm happy he did. Took enough of a beating, as does everybody else in that sport. And in the Olympics, Usain Bolt won his third Olympic Olympiad, right? 100-meter gold medal. Three different Olympics. It reminds me when Jabin was a teenager and Michael Jordan was at his prime. The passage that I would want to give to Usain Bolt. Put it in his locker. Put it on his car. Every man at his very best state is altogether vanity. MJ, Usain Bolt, all of them. Vanity of vanities. And Michael Phelps at the Olympics, the guy needs a trailer to haul around all the medals he's won. I don't even know the count. I didn't even look it up. Joel, maybe you can look it up for me. He's 20-something. You know, he's got medals. But he's had quite a career. I'd rather have Jesus, as the hymn writer said, than all that this world affords today. Those who died, that's a long list. Nancy Reagan died, age 94. Fidel Castro died, age 90. Supreme Court Justice Scalia died. You know the name, Scalia. That created a lot of domino effects in the political maneuvering for the next Supreme Court Justice and what's going to happen. He was age 79. John Glenn died. You young children know who John Glenn was? John Glenn just died a few weeks ago, right? Age 95. He was the first man to orbit the Earth. He did it three times. What year? Anybody remember? 1962. It's a year before my wife was born. Somebody zooming around the Earth three times? There wasn't any technology as we know it today to do that. And then he served in what, the Senate for two decades or something? You ought to look at his credentials of John Glenn. Just look him up. It'll blow you away. Arnold Palmer, the great golfer, died, age 87. Muhammad Ali died, age 74. He and others called him what? The greatest. That's blasphemy. You want to put a theological truth to it. We just heard who the greatest is in the Bible study. He's the Almighty. He's the God of the heavens and the earth. But I think I'll let a flight attendant from the 1970s set the record straight on Mr. Ali. He was in his youthful, proud, good years. I mean, he was up and coming. Got on an airplane, didn't put his seatbelt on. Flight attendant said, "Sir, you're going to have to put your seatbelt on." He said, "Superman don't need a seatbelt." And she said, "Superman don't need no plane. Put your seatbelt on." Now, is that not the comeback? You talk about touche boxer. Superman don't need no plane. What are you doing on this plane, Mr. Superman? But the greatest story I saw on the passing of two people was Henry and Jeanette DeLange, who died this past summer. You know them, right? Everybody know who they are? Surely. Not a person in this room knows them. Henry and Jeanette DeLange. You will remember them, children and parents. You will remember them the rest of your life after I read to you what happened. July 2016. Jeanette DeLange was 87, and she was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. She died at 5:10 p.m. Her family was gathered with her and were reading the Bible at the time. Now, what a way to go. This is one of her sons. His name is Lee. We read Psalm 103. We didn't quite get through it. She passed away very, very peacefully, incredibly peacefully. One of the other brothers went to share with the father, her husband, living in the same house. His brother went and told his father, 86, who was fighting prostate cancer. "Mom's gone to heaven. And you don't have to fight anymore." He could let her go and join her if he wished, the son added. 20 minutes later, 5:30 p.m., Henry DeLange did just that. His children remember him. Briefly opening his eyes, looking at his wife before he died. 20 minutes apart. They were married over 60 years. All right, CNN, they actually posted it. Give them credit. Here, put this out there. The son told CNN there was a divine quality to having both parents pass at the same time. Quote, We are calling it a beautiful act of God's providential love and mercy. You don't pray for it because it seems mean, but you couldn't ask for anything more beautiful. Wow. Henry and Jeanette DeLange. Well, those are the sweeping moments, one of thousands, millions of them, that we've seen around us. But what about us? What about what David's talking about? What about the steps of your life, the days of your life, the weeks? David said, God leads, God orders, God delights, God takes pleasure or over authorship, rulership over our days. He leads. Verse 24, though we fall, He upholds. God leads. God carries us along. God upholds. We have hard days, hard weeks, hard moments, painful. We don't even feel like we can get through it, and God sustains and carries. And then in verse 25, when we reflect back, He's provided, He's cared for us all the way, all the way. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. So let me cover on six areas of God's people, your dear lives. Stay with me. Number one, new marriages. New marriages. I like to talk about marriage, don't I? As my daughter Bethany, yeah, Dad, you like to talk about marriage. I do, because I think it's a glorious thing. It's a gift of God. I would want Angelina and Brad to know that in Christ. To know what marriage is, and the millions of others who look to them for what's supposed to be right. Look to God. Marriage is Tanner and Callie. Y'all got married in the spring, is that right? May or November? Okay, I'm off. You got married a year ago, a little over a year ago. Ethan and Tristan, they're back right there, right? Got married last summer. Your dad's not here, is he? Man, does everybody need to hear a tape transcript of Eric Bird speaking at your wedding? Forget the wedding of you guys. Man, Mr. Bird let it rip, as I like to say. It was beautiful, wonderful. Nick and Erica, did y'all even know each other a year ago right now to this day? Or had you married? Listen to that. You talk about the goodness and the kindness of God. You'd not met a year ago today when I was doing this. Is that right? Here they are, married in September. Praise be to God. What a joy. What a joy to see young couples. Let me say to you, couples, let your marriage have a beautiful testimony. Let it be a sermon to the world of the glory of Jesus Christ, like Henry and Jeanette DeLange had. Let the gospel rule in your marriages. You'll have tough days. Wearisome days, some sad days. I understand that. This is life. But the gospel of Christ keeps you going, growing in grace together. Marriage is a living sermon. It should be. It's not an out-of-date, antiquated institution. It is a covenant relationship that God gives for His name's sake. So may your marriages have that mark upon them. Next, new children. I may miss somebody hanging. I kept going through my list. I'm telling you, I've just got notes everywhere. Last night, I got David's most accurate list, right? And I'm going through David's list. Okay. But I try to get everybody. God continues to bless many families with new children. Children are a heritage of the Lord, right? The fruit of the womb is His reward. It's His gift. It's God giving children a posterity, a heritage. Kyle and Jennifer. Did I see them earlier? There's Jen. Okay. Just the ladies here? Or do you have any of the kids with you? Okay. Kyle and Jennifer, the arrival of Theodore and Ophelia. And they already have their own lingo. They talk. They spar with each other. They laugh with each other. Seeing the children, seeing the joy of y'all holding them and loving them. Kyle getting to be a dad. Wow. The joy of children. Nathaniel and Caitlin. See there. Help me. There they are. Another daughter. Emmeline. Caitlin plus two now. I used to exchange sending notes out about the church lunch, and Krista would do the lunch. Thank you so much, Marisa, for taking that over. I got to pause here. But I would send out notes, and it would be Caitlin, you know, and then there was Caitlin plus one when she was going to expect the first baby. Now Caitlin plus two. What mercy for you to be blessed with children. They will grow up before you can blink. Hang on. Love them. David and Ebony, right over here. JL, another precious daughter. Gentle spirit, it appears. Mama keeps saying, that's the sweetest baby. At first mom, did you ever heard say that, right? That's the sweetest baby you'll ever see. There's a few other ladies who've said that too. One in my household said that a few times. We were even talking about that. Daughters, our daughters that are grown now. Precious daughter that you and David have been blessed with. Bryce and Aaron, another son. Rhett, another son, another young man to train up. Huge responsibility, huge blessing. Awesome days today. May God give you much help, grace, strength to raise your sons and daughter to the glory of God. Children ought to be, there ought to be a fresh sense of responsibility and weight and hope in God. Jonathan and Elena. I was so excited when I looked over my shoulder a while ago and there y'all were. I had not seen Apollos yet in person. Forget pictures. Pictures are fun with my grandkids, right? But in terms of pictures, and it doesn't tell you everything, right? You get to see Apollos. Who remembers in what chapter in the book of Acts when Apollos comes on the scene, other than probably Dad? Apollos was mentioned in Acts 18, and it says he was mighty in the Scriptures. May God, Enoch and Apollos, all right, boys, it's time to run with God. Those are great names, great names. May God work in them. May God give you grace as a dad. Elena, grace as a mom. Yes, parenting will bless you and it will test you. Anybody want to raise their hand? Yes, that's right. It will bless you in some of the greatest ways in the human experience, and it will test you or empty you out. It's not for the faint of heart. Right, David? Woo! Matt, can I? It's not. Men, fathers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Rise up. Be fathers who train your sons and daughters in the ways of God. Parenting is God's way. It's a gift from Him. You must press on. So labor in faith. A part of the danger, and this is a man speaking, looking back, a part of the danger in the homeschool movement and all the phenomenal materials are out there is that there's this mindset that sets in. If I do this, 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 and this, all right, I get this, 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 and this, always out. Be careful. It's grace that saves children, no matter if they're Jonathan Edwards or they're wicked people that live in the slums and their children are brought to Christ. It's grace. Yes, labor. Teach your children, read to your children, bring them up in the fear and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but trust or put your hope in God to take them from death to life. God forbid that we think we can do this, this, and this like baking cookies, and they always come out this way. Be careful. It's subtle. It's everywhere. You hear me? We train them unto the Lord. They're His. But you can't speak with an overconfidence. I know exactly what's going to happen. It's God that does the work. You must labor for His glory. The chief thing you're doing is teaching them of God. And you hope in God to bring them into life. Let God do it in His time. 4 years old, 14 years old, 21 years old. You don't know. We want them all to be converted as little ones. But it's a labor of love and faith and hoping in God. I could go on and on. So new marriages and new children. God leads. God upholds. Some of you have had some really good days. Good days. John and Kathy. And Kathy's not here, right? The ladies are at home. Get to say that plural, right? The ladies. John and Kathy, you know, oftentimes when y'all will share, they're just, your wife or you might say, the days are full. The days are full of activity, lots going on, but they're joyful days. You sons, you boys, you're a moment away from being in a man's world. So cherish the days that you have with your parents as a family. because they're fleeting. God's with you. God strengthens you. Philip Hensley, brother, it's a joy to know you. Here you are at Providence Chapel. We didn't know you. You didn't know us. We weren't on some big campaign to go find you. God brought you here. It's been joyful to get to more and more know you in your studies and what your days are like here in Denton. And if I'm right, you introduced us to Josh, right? So our friendship and our relationship with Josh coming into the church is because of the connection to Philip and the connection to God's people, right? Josh has had good days of research at UNT. Anybody else like to sit down and hear Josh talk about it? I can't tell you one thing of what he's told me for the last 6 or 8 lunchtimes or whatever. I mean, here or when he tells me things that it just goes right by me. And so I had Krista with me last time, so maybe she can hang on to 10 or 20% of it. Philip just smiles and shakes his head. But Josh is a good brother. He knows the living God. You're going to study quantum physics or anything else like that. And if you don't know the living God, you're going to be consumed in the arrogance of men, right? Josh has a heart that loves God. When he studies, he sees more of God. That's the way it should be. As Piper would say, whether you look through a telescope or a microscope, you're looking at the Almighty's creations. They're His. Microbiology or the planetary forms or movements are of God. Joel and Nora. I kind of think of y'all as that up in the front little anchor that's always hanging out there. You know, these have been good days. You came into the church and God's leading. And you're growing together. You're growing with God's people. We're growing in our connection to you. It's a very precious thing God gives us to grow together, to walk together. Bunyan was saying something to us on the road to the celestial city, to have companions. What a gift from God. None of us are lone rangers. The body has many members. One great head, one great Lord and King. But many members, we're all vital, living, sharing, exchanging. Alan and Legia, back there. Good days, full days. Sometimes you ask Alan, what all's going on with you these days? You better stand there for a moment because he's building a house, studying this, doing this, raising children, loving his wife and me. But good days, God's, in a sense, truly giving you days to abound. Good days of study, a blessing to hear you teach, and you've been sent forth. You've had an opportunity to go and preach and teach at other places. Y'all's life, your marriage, your evident love to each other as a couple, it's precious. It's its own living sermon. That's the way it should be. Good days, the kindness of God. Cherish them. Your sons will be doing the heavy lifting soon. Jesse helped me cut wood the other day. We were in a wood splitter. Brother David came by when we were, and I sent my daughter a picture, Janae, I sent a picture, and I said, your 3 sons will be doing this work for me in not too many days. I'll be over there, boys, move that over. It happens. It's real. I'm just grateful I can be out there with Jess still and do some of it. Good days. Brother Nick, Jamie, the family, the boys, and my young friend Stretch back there that I like to call Elijah. Stretch. God's blessing is evident, Brother Nick, on your work. No question. Good days. What your work is bigger than the task at hand. I think Nick knows this, walks in it. God's helped him. God's used him. The impact on others at work, small conversations, different brothers. You know these things. In my vocational work through the years, unbelievable the doors that get open. That these people wouldn't come necessarily and sit here and listen, but they'll ask questions and they'll open up their heartaches, and the gospel can come forth in short words, short sentences, an act of kindness. Nick has been faithful. God's given him an impact on others. Yes, God has blessed so many of the saints here with good days. As Brother Spurgeon just said to us a few minutes ago, you've had birds singing in your trees. I have too. Some of you have had hard days. In a sense, all of us. And of course, quote at random within the sovereignty of God. I'm picking a moment that came to my heart and mind about each of you. And I know I could move some from this category to this category, but I had these things on my heart. Carl and Mary Ann. Her stroke and the scary reality of that in those immediate hours and days. I remember getting the note and feeling the weight of it and knowing that God has you. Whatever days, whatever years, whatever He has, we know He has it for good. And He gave you such recovery, such mercy. We love and cherish that He sent you to be with us here at this church. Tom and Kathy Allison. I don't think Tom is here today, Tom and Kathy. They've had hard days. You know, his struggles with his health, his strength, his knees, and all the surgery that he's had. All those have been hard. It's not like you just get up and run again. It's been difficult. Kathy's had health struggles. And they've had just ups and downs in the life of their son, Daniel. So those days have been difficult, but look to God. That's always the message, always the truth that I would share, or Lee or Mac or Jeff, to them. That's what we ought to say to each other. Look to God. David said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That's personal. That's God's with you. You're not alone. God doesn't just check on you once a quarter. He's with us. He sent his Holy Spirit. We have God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in us, right? Christ within you, the hope of glory. Jason Courtney. Jason, go. Many hard days and hard weeks, but progress, the love and kindness of God coming along, God upholding, God bringing fresh truth, fresh encouragement, reality in the Christian life. I have good memories of he and I reading through a couple of the books together while we were apart, and each day we'd read a certain chapter and I'd exchange a verse with him. It was a way to keep our strings tied together. Sister Leslie, very sad days, sad days. For the children, for all that y'all been through, we just love you. We're grateful you're here. And God is your strength, and He will carry you all the way. We've seen it. We've seen it firsthand. We've marveled at it. I'm talking about just the elders. We've marveled at God's mercy towards y'all, towards you, you as a woman, and Claire and Nathan. Mercy's so precious. Jonathan Thompson, where are you, brother? We got the hat on? Jonathan back there. There he is. Okay. Difficult days with that precious son you have, John David. Difficult days. We understand that. Like I said, parenting can be so hard. And yet, we know that you love him. We have great hope that God's going to bring him through this, that his life will be used for the kingdom. So hang in there, brother. Let God be your strength. Brian and Michelle, agonizing days after Cody left. Just the love of a son, wanting him to go in the right ways. God would be upon him. Just the transparency of y'all sharing the time Brother Brian and I had up at McDonald's that morning. Man, sometimes you don't know what to say. You don't have to say that much. Sometimes, you know, we don't have to give some sort of a big sermon. We just have to love God's people. My goodness, the Christian life is real. There's battles. Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Man, that hymn writer knew what he was talking about. Their struggles. Kevin and Sherry. Days and nights, more than we could any of us comprehend. A pain, pleading with God for relief. Come, Lord. It makes you think of the New Testament and those that desperately wanted to get to Jesus Christ for to be healed or to be helped, to have a child healed. Kevin and Sherry have gone through things that we can't even comprehend, but God is with them. He's upheld them. They could write their own chronicles of the kindnesses of God. They could talk about birds singing in their trees. Amazing. The reality. Clint and Sarah, I'm not sure that they're here today. Disappointments regarding his work. Struggles, hoping for this opening, hoping for clarity here. God's with them. Trust in Him. God has it all. His plan is perfect. We don't know. We can't fill in the blank. We don't have to. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Look to God. Sister Valerie and all the precious family. Some time, trying times, heavy times in the home. Nurturing, training, speaking into the children's lives. Sometimes we feel like we speak and it's like, did anybody get that? It's evident the love of the children. Trusting in the great God, trusting in all that He has, Lord, that Lord would be real and precious to them. It's been a joy for us pastorally to be with all of y'all, to get to know you, to laugh together. Lee and I getting to play that dinner time game with them, our favorites, sharing and having a great time. God is with you in the hard days. You young women, look to God. Let Him direct your steps. Love one another with a pure heart. And my dear wife, draining days of ministry to her very frail parents. It is a real labor, isn't it? It is. So yes, for God's people, hard days for many of you, but He upholds us. David said, yet He upholds me with His hand. Two more categories. Ministry days. You know, David, you talk about a ministry of the kingdom of God, the greatest king that Israel ever knew. He was recounting that God did this, right? Over and over in other Psalms, all that God did. And yet he is saying here, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. What we are about, God will sustain, meaning kingdom labor, kingdom living. Many of you, in so many ways, I could put everybody in a category in this one of laboring in some capacity in ministry, whether it be nurturing children or traveling halfway across the world for gospel type labor or going to Baton Rouge, helping those saints. Ministry days are real. They're God appointed. They're God infused, if you will. Jake, laboring here. You know, so much goes on here, saints, that we just take for granted. We walk in, it's all ready to go. Hey, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And Jake continues to grow in his ministry and love and help to so many behind the scenes. An example, helping at the Providence House and you guys being there. Days of ministry, days of help, days of caring for each other. Brother Darius, here, technology, helping us with stuff that I have no clue about, but that you guys work on and think through and work together on. I remember when I got to Portland for the conference in Maine, I forgot you were going to be there. And I came walking in, I could hear Charles Leiter preaching, and I was coming up the steps, and I thought, I can hear Charles. And I walk in, and there's Darius with all that equipment, and he's helping keep it all going. And I just smiled, and I said, I forgot he was coming. It was special to see him laboring, giving himself. The world would look on and go, what are y'all doing in Portland, Maine? We're serving the one great Savior who gives us breath, who rules over all. That's what we're doing. That's something Muhammad Ali never did, just for the record. Jared and Joanne, where are all y'all? Right back in the family. Days of ministry, faithful, loving, caring, helping the saints, opening your home for some of these Friday fellowship times, opening your home for the ladies, for the sisters, joyfully giving of yourself, giving of y'all's resources, all that God has blessed you with, letting the overflow, let God's people share in your family. The days that are so tangible, so real for giving and receiving within the body. Very precious. Lee and Amber, ministering near in the right there in your home, ministering hour by hour, day by day, and going out and ministering across the world. Incredible range of what God's using your lives for. I never knew when we sat at Good Eats with these two young girls what was ahead, and nor did Mac. What a gift of God that you are here. What a mercy of our sovereign God. In your labor, your faithful, joyful labor in it. It's one thing to labor and to be grumpy about it, right? It's another thing to labor with laughter and joy and birds singing. Right? We need grace to labor with laughter and joy. Some days don't have many birds, right? God's with us. David and Marisa. So many things that y'all been about. And your daughters. I think Michaela said, the whole family is just a workforce. Something like that. I said, you got that right. You need something done, you call 1-800-HOLZLANDERS. I'm telling you, it'll get done. With joy, with purpose. It's wonderful. I say that in love and in respect. It's just amazing. Helping God's flock. And so many things that go on that, you know, I wouldn't even see the detail. None of us, but y'all are there. And David laboring as a deacon, just like Brother Brian. Brian, these men do things so much. Brian's carried a ton of things this last year. I called him my hero for the year because he's been so good, so faithful, so true to what needs to be done to guide the stewardship here. He's been awesome. David's helped in so many ways too, and we're blessed to have him. Ron and Karen Pulaski, I knew they wouldn't be here, but they're going to be on this list till the day God takes me. Wherever these notes end up, Ron and Karen will always be in these notes. Because I love them that much. I thought to myself while I was driving in the car listening to hymns with tears, I thought to myself, you could travel the earth around and not find finer, more sincere, tender, humble brethren than Ron and Karen Pulaski. And just precious. And we met them in our 20s, right? So we've had seasons with them and then seasons where God called them away. One night, I think it was, Valerie said, can you recommend so-and-so or maybe one of the women? I think Valerie, if I'm not wrong, I said, you need to hang out with Karen Pulaski. Meaning, just let her speak into your life. Ron and Karen. Shepherding. You talk about days of ministry. Ron's out there ministering to that little flock in Allison, Texas. Precious. Mac and Linda. Ongoing love, care, ministry to grandchildren. Children's children are the crown of old men. And women, children's children, grandchildren, loving them, caring for them, nurturing them, correcting them, taking them in the car, staying up late, a few sleepless nights, right, sister? Just a few. Ongoing love. You talk about real ministry. You talk about children that one day are going to tell stories about their grandparents. There's gospel reality in this, saints. It's real. For me, I struggled. What would I write down? Days of ministry, trying to grow, trying to be sanctified more and more with you, ministering here, ministering to my own family. I think probably one of the great highlights for me this last year was Volume 2 in George Whitfield's biography. And I go twice a year, I steal away for a few days, and I steal away, and I take a great volume, something I want to read focused and intensely, not spread it out over too long a time. And so I got to do Volume 2 of Whitfield. You know what struck me? How he used words. We all know that he preached, right? Okay, well, that's a given. You talk about preaching, wow, a herald of the gospel. But that book has tedious letters and responses to God's people and to others, conflicts, difficulties, stuff that would have just rocked most people's life, ruined them. Whitfield would walk through it and he would write these letters back to men that attacked him. And he used words redemptively. It's incredible reading it and being impacted by it. May God help me. May God help us. May God help all of us. Let's use words that build up, advance the gospel, help those that are hurting, warn the lost. But let's use words. Let's write things send things that are edifying, email, text, whatever, verbal. A soft answer turns away wrath in countless other passages. I'm grateful to God for what ministry impact hit me from the life of Brother Whitfield. Yes, all of us learning to labor by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Lastly, number 6, days of letting go. Days of letting go. Sometimes it's joyful, letting go, and sometimes it's heavy. It's sad. Eric and Shana, that guy on your left, you said, all right, leave and be joined to your wife, and you should be as one. But to let go of Ethan in that role, if I ask your mom, tell me stories about him when he was 2 or 4 or 6 or 8, you don't think she'd open up and tell stories? But there comes a time where a mom has to let him go. Legia, your day's coming. You'll have to let him go. Tommy, your day's coming. Janet Walquist will tell you, right, Janet? Time's coming. You have to let him go. But it's a joy. The letting go is real, right? Ron and Janet, speaking of your dear family, I didn't know we'd get to have the young couple here, Alicia. I remember last January getting with y'all and y'all announced your engagement. I felt like I got the sneak preview before anybody else. Here you are, married with a child on the way. The blessing of God. So Ron and Janet, releasing a daughter, in a sense, gaining a son-in-law. Not a loss, but it's not the same anymore, right? She has been joined to her husband. That's the way God intends it. So there's a day of letting go that we feel as parents. Stephen and Kathy. Where are they? There's Kathy. Moving out of Stephen's mom's home. That's a letting go. I can't imagine. There's Sarah. I can't imagine what she felt having those precious grandchildren there all the time. So, I mean, I love to drive down my driveway and there's my grandsons because I know it's fixing to be high octane. It's fixing to really happen. And so I'm sure your mother-in-law would go, oh, yeah, there were a lot of high octane days. You moving on in the will of God, Stephen and his work, and letting go of that chapter. You have to let go in faith. You have to let go with joy and thanksgiving. But you have to go on. You have to go on to the next chapter, as does she. Tom and Betty and Eva. It's one thing to give a daughter in marriage, but then you almost had to give her again. So it's a profound thing. To see Maria and Gabby leave for Mexico. There's joy in it. But Tom and Betty, who've had these years with Maria and the granddaughter and all, it's real. I've really not even had a sit-down heart-to-heart. But for Tom as a father and what he felt, Maria being rejoined to Jonathan, which is wonderful, wonderful. But to see them go on, you just have to, by faith, say, Lord, lead them in the paths of righteousness for your namesake. That has to be your prayer, right, as parents. That's some real letting go. That'll test us. Jeff and Tommy. Brother Jeff, where are y'all again? There he is. I'll save this one for last. What did you have to let go of? His grandfather-in-law. Bob Woodruff passed to glory, what, 3 weeks ago roughly? God took him home. You talk about a vessel who was ready, but he was so precious to them. He was precious to Jeff before Jeff ever even knew about Tommy. And he was precious to Jeff all the days that you're in union with Tommy. He was so formative. He was God's providential man that had such a key part of them being joined together. Oh, there's sorrow and there's joy. Jeff sent us, what, one picture? Right? The picture of you guys, you and JD and others, carrying the casket. And I just smiled and I said, Brother Bob is there now. He sees the Lamb of God in His splendor, His majesty. But Jeff and Tommy lost a dear patriarch in the faith. And it's your day to keep running, learning from him. Brother Bob would say, press on. He would say it, wouldn't he? Yes, beloved, we all in our own ways have to have days of letting go. But as David said here, I was young, I'm old, but I've never seen God's people forsaken. He's with us. So, beloved, let me say again, reflecting, remembering is good for us. It's good for us individually, and it's good for us corporately. There's value, there's edification, there's help, there's mercy. I must say, Greg, I had you on my list. New Days at the Providence House. I'm so glad you're there with the men. Eric's there now. Anybody else that I've... Mercies of God. Look to Him individually. Give thanks. Reflect. Remember. So now, we've reflected back. What's ahead? What's ahead in 2017? Grace. Well, let's listen to what Brother Spurgeon said and we'll close. Spurgeon talked about looking back at that aisle of trees. Now Spurgeon says, turn and look the other way. But reflecting also points forward. For when a man gets to a certain mark or a certain place, he's not yet at the end. Bob Woodruff is at the end of that journey. He's in the eternity with the Lamb. But for us, when we look forward, when we get to the next milestone or the next spot, that's not the end. There is still a distance to be traversed. There's more ground to claim. There's more ground to walk in. Listen at this. More trials, more joys. More temptations, more triumphs. More prayers, more answers. More toils, more strength. More fights, more victories. And then comes sickness, old age, disease, death. Is it over? Spurgeon says resoundingly, no. There is more yet. This is what Bob Woodruff has. More yet that awaits us, beloved. More awaits us. We may bury some of each other, right, this year. But what awaits us is infinitely greater than the here and now. Spurgeon said, awakening in Jesus' likeness, thrones, harps, songs, psalms, white raiment, the face of Jesus Christ, the society of the saints, the glory of God, the fullness of eternity, the infinity of bliss. That's what awaits us. That's what we're going to. Amen. Let me pray. Father, again, we thank You for such mercy that 2016 can be said of all of us, our God was with us, hard and good, new and old things, letting go and finding fresh days of ministry. Whatever we went through, whatever has happened, You've ruled over it. You're with us. You've cared for us. You've upheld us. You've sustained us. You've guided us. You will direct our steps. 2017 can be all that You have for each of us by faith, trusting You, yielding ourselves as instruments of Christ. Lord, thank You. Thank You for each other. Thank You for the joy of communion with the saints, the friendship and fellowship together, and for the reminders of the grace of God in each other's lives. Thank You, Lord. Blessed be Your name through Christ alone.